Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 389. This is the Crufty Claws here. We're trying out a whole different setup here on the Caffeination podcasting layer. We're trying to do a couple different things on the production end of the episode, so hopefully the difference comes through. So we're working more towards simplification of things around here. So rather than trying to use programs that don't work too well in Windows 7, and until they release a program that does, we're just trying to go with an old-school playlist playing in the background. We're using Windows Media Player instead of Jazzler Show. So in case you're a podcaster yourself and you're wondering how different sounds get into the ear of the listeners at the Caffeination Podcast, we've slightly changed. And, I'll be talking about that a different time. This isn't the time nor the place for that. This is the place for all things caffeine and all things tech. It's kind of a strange little conglomeration of topics that all kind of end up into one place. Hopefully that is your ear. And if you are looking for a place to find more of this fun stuff, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. We are the Caffeination Podcast, and we are also a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child safe, family friendly, and educational podcasts. Everybody over there produces fantastic content. It's really kind of fun to actually wander around over there to see exactly what is on the schedule for the different people that are up there. And as always, you can head on over to blog.techpodcasts.com to see the really cool stuff that's happening in the realm of some of the other stuff. So everybody, there's a different presenter every week over at TPM Weekly. I'll be doing it on the 20th of December, so we're going to be doing kind of a year-in-review show, even though I know there's going to be a couple of those. We're also going to be doing a little bit of prepping for your holiday party and how you can do so in a caffeinated way, both on the tech side and in the coffee way. So if you're interested in that, be sure to tune in over at blog.techpodcast.com. All right. We have a great amount of cool stuff to talk to you about here on today's show. We're calling this the Crufty Claws Edition because I am fascinated by all things Cruft. And Cruft means basically bits of detritus laying around that of a technical nature. So I've renamed myself Crufty Claws because I'm here to gift you with a bunch of little strange and interesting factoids that you will hopefully take on to the rest of your life and be able to share with the group as the case may be. So before we get into too much else here, we do want to remind you, you can send all comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail over to caffeination@gmail.com. I will attempt to respond to absolutely everybody. You can become a fan of the Caffeination over on Facebook. Just search for Caffeination Podcast. You can also sign in with the Google Friend Connect. That is, if you'd like to leave comments, feedback, suggestion on the actual blog itself. There's a fun little, hopefully helpful button up there. It says sign in for Google Friend Connect. And last but most certainly not least, you can either follow us at Twitter at @caffeination, that's twitter.com/caffeination, or you can dial in old school, old fashioned wise at that doesn't really work for a phone. You can call in to 215-240-1319. We're working on the levels here because there's two different setups that I use here for the Caffeination Podcast. On the Sunday nights, I record direct live to hard drive with nobody else hearing all the blips and the beeps that have to happen. So all you see is the wonderful production that happens at the end, which is what you'll hopefully be listening to, which is Caffeination 389. However, on Wednesday nights over at ustream.tv/channel/caffeination-live, or you could just head on over to the podcast. If you head on over to caffeination.com on Wednesday evenings, I will have a little link up to where you can go and join in live. The link's going to appear on the right-hand side of the page. I'm going to hopefully have a little approximate time for when the episode's going to rock out. We usually do a little bit of a pre-episode chat, run through the episode. There's usually a little bit more content that actually ends up in the final stuff. And then we rock out with some really fun questioning comments after the fact. So it's been really cool the past 2 weeks, so we're going to continue doing it here this upcoming week. So just mark your calendars, approximately 10 p.m. Eastern I think we're in standard time. I'm not entirely sure. Daylight time, whatever. Eastern time. Eastern part of the United States, that is. I actually had somebody tell me I shouldn't use Eastern time, that I should just tell them the time. And as much as I'd like to think that everybody who listens to a technically minded podcast that would kind of realize that, you know, there's people who listen from all over the world. So if I say Eastern time in the United States, they can look up and say, okay, the Eastern time in the United States is this time zone. I'm not going to tell you what time you can listen to it, because here's the fun thing about that. No matter where you are on the planet, I will be wrong when I tell you what time it'll appear on your little dial. Or you could just follow me over at Twitter, and I usually give a little bit of like a 5-10 minute warning, and then I tell you when it is live. So I've had a lot of really interesting discussion over there, and I'd like to continue it. So we have, again, three sections here leading up. We have Holiday Cruft, Geek Cruft, and Food and Caffeinated Bits. It's my attempt to kind of segment things down into easily understandable and digestible little portions here on the Caffeination Podcast. Before we get on to the rest of the episode, I would like to make a quick mention of the fact that the Caffeination is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. I want to take a couple minutes and tell you about some of the really, really fun and cool features of GoToMeeting, why it separates itself from all the other online meeting solutions that are out there. First of all, you can start meetings with one click. It's available on either the Mac or the PC. You can instantly change presenters from you to somebody else without having to worry about anything. It's incredibly smooth to set this up. It's wonderful to work with, and it really showcases the designs as best the best way possible. You can show your things in true 24-bit color. There's a chat functionality that runs alongside whatever it is you're doing. You can record and play back your meetings for people who weren't able to actually fit it into their schedule. You can automatically integrate it with Microsoft Outlook to give meeting reminders and all the other fun tools like that. You too can play your very own John Madden Telestrator games and draw on the screen to actually illustrate your points, and it includes phone conferencing and voice over IP. So it's a fun little a collection of awesome things that make GoToMeeting one of the best meeting tools out there. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast for a free trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow all kinds of fun and cool stuff to go underway here. All right, moving right on into the Holiday Cruft section. Quick reminder, we are proudly linking over to the Child's Play charity. It's great to see the money begin to pile up in the coffers over there. Every single dollar you donate goes directly to help provide entertainment for sick kids in the hospital. That's the long and the short of it. Two episodes ago, I gave you a long diatribe on it. That's about all I'm going to say here from here on out. So hopefully you can find it in your heart or in your budget to support whatever charity it is that you are doing this time of the year. All right, now this is not your father's sled. This is a dual fork. Speedster. This thing has a mesh sling rather than boards. It has an aluminum chassis. I don't know. It probably has carbon fiber in there somewhere. You can actually shift your weight and move from direction to direction. This is from over at 7gadgets.com. I thought this was fantastic. This is really cool. We have a radio flyer here. Yes, believe it or not, I have the old school red rungs, the painted rungs and everything. I should probably repaint the rungs to give it a little bit more slick on there, but it complete with the steering bar up front. I've had this thing since I was a very, very little kid. And the bad part about it is that there's only a certain kind of snow that you can use the original radio flyers on. You know, the sled that we talked about here, by the way, is $350. So if you have that kind of coin to fork out and you are in an area that actually is getting snow, unfortunately, the whole global warming or whatever kind of trend we're in right now, I haven't seen a good sledding snow actually hit the ground and stay there for enough time to actually, you know, garner the troops up ahead of everybody, head out and actually try and do this thing upright. I haven't had that in quite some time. I mean, I remember when my wife and I were actually dating, you know, like 8 or 9 years ago, there'd be a couple snows like that a year, and everybody would pile all into the cars and go out to a nice big hill up at Burrholm Park, and we'd all go down a giant hill. That hill's now gone. Unfortunately, the hill in my neighborhood is no longer accessible because the lovely people at the elementary school who the hill was attached to put a gate at the bottom of it. I understand they probably did it to keep people off it so that, you know, they weren't liable for any damages, but now the only accessible sledding hill, there's two accessible sledding hills in our area right now. The one is at the end of my block. If you'd like to sled down that, that's perfectly fine. The only problem is you're sledding into oncoming traffic. And then there's Suicide Hill. Everybody seems to have a Suicide Hill, but Suicide Hill in the area where I live is fun because not only do you have to dodge trees on the way down to this heavily wooded hill, but at the bottom of the hill there's a creek. Or a creek, however you feel like saying it. There's a body of a relatively small, shallow body of water, so that if you're sledding down at enough speed, it is theoretically possible to hit a jump and actually make it all the way over this. If you do not hit the jump correctly, or if you do not have sufficient speed, or if you happen to hit a tree on the way down, you're probably going to end up in the water. That being said, it's kind of fun and kind of cool, but it's still, I'd much rather have something along the lines of the old normal John Hancock Hill. The local elementary school here is John Hancock Demonstration School, named after one of the signers, or the first signer, or the biggest signer, rather, of the Declaration of Independence here, but unfortunately, they've decided to declare war on the freedom of sledding in an awesome hill. So it was actually kind of funny because the school was named after somebody made famous during the Revolutionary War and the whole founding of the country, and the entire hill that we used to sled on was covered with cobblestones, which for a sled like the Radio Flyer really made some awesome times. But I digress here. All right, now the next little thing we have up for you here is kind of a takeoff from the Christmas Vacation movies with Chevy Chase. I'm just calling it a butt sled. It's actually a pair of pants that have on the seat of the pants a plastic shield to actually scoot yourself down the hill. They come in three sizes, small kids, big kids, and adults for $35. So, hey, if you don't have the $350, if you'd like to reduce your sledding if you'd like to reduce your sledding expenditures by a power of 10, then you too can own your very own butt sled. Thought this was pretty cool. Another thing that I found up here was a Bigfoot and Yeti snowman, Bigfoot and Yeti Christmas tree ornaments, hand-blown glass ornaments, actually sponsored by the International Cryptozoology Museum gift shop. Now, I've seen a couple people actually send me links to these, so thank you to everybody who did that. This is, like, fantastic, unbelievable, kind of crazy cool stuff. First of all, if you're into the cryptids or the cryptozoology at all, and you're not really sure what they are, imagine Bigfoot, Yetis, Abominable Snowman, Chupacabras, Nessie, Champy, the Lake Champlain Monster. There's all these kind of things that are running around supposedly, and there's an entire discipline of pseudoscience dedicated to studying them. It's called the International Cryptozoology, rather, not the International anything, but So, if you'd like to sponsor them or lend money to their cause and get an awesome-looking Christmas tree ornament at the same point in time, you can head on over there and check that out. And then that about wraps it up, I think, we have here for the holiday cruft. Not too much definitive holiday cruft that I found that I wanted to share, but if you find any cool things that you think geeks or coffee nuts might like to hear about, please feel free to send it over to caffeination@gmail.com. Moving right on into the geek cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. Not sure if you are aware, but Comcast, a local company here in Philadelphia, so it's always nice to see local boys done good, but it's also a little scary in this aspect. Comcast has bought NBC. Yes, the largest cable provider in the eastern half of the country. I'm not sure about the western half, so unorthodox slang for whatever else is left of the country. I know that in our area and in most areas on the eastern portion of the country, we are pretty much controlled by Comcast Cable. I know that there's plenty of other cable providers that are out there, but unfortunately, being in a city that has the headquarters of Comcast, there's not too much choice in anything. So you kind of it's six of one, half a dozen of another. It's like, oh wait, wow, that's fantastic, but on the other hand, oh great, the monopoly is going to spread. So they bought NBC. The only cool thing to come out of this is an announcement that Hulu, despite the fact that a lot of people had thought otherwise, is actually going to remain free. So they're going to continue a free broadcast stuff on Hulu, cable stuff, and TV everywhere. So that's pretty cool. I left a link up to the article from over at slipperybrick.com. I didn't think they would ever end up charging for Hulu, just because if you really think about it, they're already paying for advertisers, so it's a similar situation to what they have on TV itself, and it probably costs them a lot less to push something over to Hulu, and you can actually start to see some of the content end up being delayed. Now, I'm not sure if Hulu's owned by NBC. I get all confused when it comes to the networks, but not sure if Hulu's owned by NBC, if it's owned by ABC. All I know is I think it's a conglomeration of a bunch of different media companies that put their content up for free and legal viewing online, which I actually think is a great idea. It's an easy way to control the revenue stream attached to your content. All right, now the next one's from Via Mass from over at CoffeeHero.com, found in his shared items, Bad Code Offsets. It's a fun idea that if you are a coder or you are a person who works on web pages or anything else like that, you can basically donate to open source software initiatives by buying what they call bad code offsets. Now, think of this in the realm of indulgences from the church back in the medieval times, where if you were going to sin, you could actually buy a prepaid get out of jail free card. So this is basically saying that with the realization that everyone eventually writes bad code, you can help stamp out bad code by buying bad code offsets. So I think this is pretty cool. It says this card entitles the bearer to an offset at maximum of one source line of bad code. The bad code offset is a reduction in credit that offsets the emission of poor quality software that would otherwise occur from the inclusion of bad code within a computer program. Bad code offsets are measured in source lines of code and are bought and sold through a variety of trading platforms, including authorized resellers and international brokers. So I think I'm going to be purchasing a couple of these. The funny thing is that they're actually donating directly to a couple different open source software initiatives like jQuery, PostgreSQL, and the Apache Software Foundation. Since I use and abuse Apache and probably have written my fair share of bad code in the name of Apache, I feel compelled to actually end up lending more than a couple dollars to this. So I thought it was pretty fun and cool, and especially if they actually give you a certificate, I think that would be fantastic. Alright, next little article we have up for you here is from Norbert Davis from over at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. It's called Countdown to Green. It's an LED traffic light that actually shows a countdown, a little hash mark countdown going around until it turns green. Now, a lot of people are saying, this is an idea that's pretty cool. It tells you when you're going to be able to gun your engine. I don't think they should necessarily put it on the red light. I think they should put it on the yellow light. And in fact, there's a lot of places here in Philadelphia that actually have timers on the crosswalk so that you can actually see the countdown to when it turns red. And it goes directly from, as soon as the light turns green, it starts the countdown at 15 or 20 or whatever. And it gives you a little bit of an idea as to gauge how long you have left before you can, should either stop or otherwise. I mean, that's what the yellow light's technically supposed to be for. It's not the floor it so you don't get a ticket thing from the red light camera, but still. Yes, we do have a couple red light cameras here in Philadelphia, and yes, they're horrible. I, knock on wood, have never actually been snagged by one, but I'm not really a mad offender on that end. So I just thought it was kind of interesting and wanted to pass it along. All right, next article, also from Norbert Davis, again from over at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. Thank you ever so much, Norbert, for sending in the cool stuff that you did this today. And the next one, again, as well, is also from him. But magazine junk to now include thumb drives. There's an interesting article from over at everythingusb.com that says they've now managed to shrink the USB drive, the regular thumb drive, down to a significantly thin size to basically put it on a punch out on cardstock, so that it's going to join the same ranks as shampoo samples, scratch and sniff stickers, and all the other kind of fun junk that you find in whatever print magazines that you have out there. So there's going to be a way for different pieces of advertising to end up living beyond the magazine itself and actually being plugged into your computer. I, for one, probably would never plug one of these things in unless it had something like a game or something attached to it. I think that's the thing that advertisers really need to realize. It's not necessarily, they're going to have to build some impetus to actually put this stuff on the computer. So, and they're going to have to be very, very careful about what they do with it. Yes, tracking cookies, and there's all other kinds of fun software they could probably include, including rootkits and all other kinds of nastiness could actually make it out there. Now, if 2600, the Hacker Quarterly, ever puts one of these out there, you can be willing to bet people are probably not going to end up putting it in their machine. But they're saying it's probably going to end up making its rounds in the pharmaceutical companies. By the way, I don't know if I've ever said this before, but I think the one industry on the planet that should never be able to actually advertise is the pharmaceutical industry. There's no other industry out there that gets to advertise where the eventual consumer consumers that they are advertising to have no ability to go out and purchase the product directly. You actually have to talk to a doctor in order to get all the stuff. So I don't think they should be allowed to advertise. That's just been my basic stance on them from the get-go. I think it was much nicer when we didn't have to see Cialis and Viagra and all other kinds of nastiness ads in the middle of our programming when there's no way, you know, I'm not saying anybody should be able to go out and buy them. I'm saying if you can't, there's no reason to see it. You know, they already go in there and they make you late for your doctor's appointments as it is, having their little vendor meetings in the middle of the workday. So I think they've abused the system enough. I think we should kind of pull their plug on the advertising. All right, soapbox getting down. The next, again, story, again from the awesomeness that is Norbert Davis and the fantastic podcast that is the Totally Cool Tech Podcast over at totallycooltech.com. He sent me a Lego USB mouse. It's incredibly unergonomic. It's very brickish. It is a giant Lego block, a 2x4 Lego block, so there's 8 little nubbins. The front 2 nubbins on the left and the right actually provide you with the left and right click, and then there's a scroll wheel, the only un-Lego-like particle in the entire thing. So I thought it was fantastic and wanted to share, and it's actually not that bad in price. What you would expect to pay for it, it's roughly $31.96. So that's not too bad, but I just wanted to share. Next little piece of Lego design love is from over at Yanko Design. Now, I've never seen a Lego article from Yanko. I love the glorious industrial design that they put out over at Yanko Design. So to see a Lego article there is at one point antithetical to what they actually do. You're sitting there and going, Legos? Yanko? Really? And then you see what they actually put together. They actually had somebody design an entire system of Lego lights that are of lights. It's a chandelier made entirely out of black Legos. It is at one point glorious because it is a study in Lego geometry unlike anything I've ever seen, and at the same point also incredibly awesome. So I wanted to just showcase that and pass it along because I thought it was crazy that you would see that up there. Next item we have for you here is a freeboard. It fixes some of the inherent problems in the Wii Balance Board design, some of the limitations. Now, if you are unaware of what the Wii Balance Board is, it's basically a flat board that resembles a chunky bathroom scale. The object is it can actually tell the difference between the weight put on one half of the board versus the other, so it can allow, and front to back. So it separates all the weight tracking into the different feet so that it can actually tell when you're leaning forward, when you're leaning back. There's a whole host of video games that are out there that allow you to actually track how you would skateboard or snowboard or whatever it is on there. The only problem with this is the board itself is sedentary. So unlike some of the fine correction that exists when you're trying to ski jump or whatever it is you're trying to do, doesn't actually exist because they went for stability as opposed to realistic design. Now again, I think you'd probably be a little bit better off if you decided to actually attempt to snowboard or ski as opposed to using a Wii balance board, because it's funny that a lot of the things that are showcased now. I mean, from the Guitar Hero guitars to the freeboard or whatever else that's out there, they're all basically proxies for actual awesome things you could do. Like, you could learn how to play the guitar, or you could pretend on the Guitar Hero. I'm of the mind that I've seen enough people who don't know how to use or play an instrument really attempt to shine, and there's so much more accomplishment when you could just walk away from a game or something like that and say, hey, you know what? I actually know how to play Freebird. I don't just know the button sequence. So that's one small aside there. But the freeboard is actually a rounded base to the Wii balance board that you would clip on the underside that actually gives you a little bit more of the rocking back and forth motion that you would see on a regular snowboard or some of the skateboarding games that are out there. So it's an interesting idea. The only problem is the price tag is roughly $45 for a inverted plastic shell. That's it. Yes, it's designed to actually fit your Wii balance board or whatever other similar balance board that you would have. $45 is a little bit much when I've already bought the Wii balance board as it is. Yes, it's great for yoga, and you wouldn't be able to actually use the free balance board or free board to actually improve yoga because it would change it entirely. But they say it's actually slightly rounded so that it would allow you to do some of the games like snowboarding and stuff like that without actually making you unstable. I'm unstable as it is standing or sitting on my own. I doubt a rounded balance board would be a good idea in the living room unless I decided to pad everything that's in there. All right, now if you follow my stream over at caffeination.tumblr.com, you might have seen this before, but it's a USB outlet for the wall. It's a regular standard outlet for the United States power grid system. So it has the, you know, the positive, the negative, and ground. And then on each side of the actual outlet, there's actually a USB plug that exists just powered for USB. This is fantastic. I need to find these things and actually install them down in the caffeination layer. For each outlet, you actually are only charged $10, so there's no crazy hacks that you have to try and do. There's nothing extra. It's just fantastic. It's a true power USC or UCS rather power outlet with built-in USB ports. This is unbelievable. I can't wait for these things to actually come out to the market. They're saying there's pre-ordering out there for these things now. So just spread the word. The more word of these things that gets out, the faster hopefully they'll come to market. This is going to be great. Imagine being able to charge your iPod without the need for the excessive power brick that's there. The way that I think these things are actually going to end up saving people money, because if you really think about it, when your power brick or whatever it is heats up for when you're trying to charge one of your USB gadgets, that heat is lost energy. So anytime you can remove the idea of lost energy from the equation is a good thing. So, all right, now the next item we have for you here is a Gmail shortcut board. Now, if they had one of these for all services, I think this would be fantastic. This is a tiny little $20 external keyboard that just has Gmail shortcuts on it. So it gives you search, select, star, next, previous, and all these other little functions that allow you to quickly navigate through Gmail. If Gmail is your only way of using email and you need to process through an incredible large number of emails, rather than just learning the 35 or 69 Gmail shortcuts that currently exist, you could use the 19 most popular with this tiny little extension. I think I'd probably rather use the keyboard extensions or the shortcuts themselves rather than buy an extra keyboard that only has use for Gmail. All right, that about wraps it up for the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. If you are looking for this podcast, you happen to walk in late. Hi, welcome. I'm Paul, and this is the Caffeination. We are located lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that out on your own. All right, we have a couple little things to talk about in the food and caffeinated bits here, and then we're going to head you out on your way. Thank you ever so much for sticking around this far. Up next, we have the Adult Mario Robotic Rig Rewards You with Booze. At least that's what they say over at Device.com. It's a way for an immersive version of Mario Brothers to actually reward the players with different beverages of choice. Now, if you need to head on over to Device to actually watch it, but basically, the faster Mario runs, the faster fans move to make it look like there's a wind blowing in Mario's face. For every enemy Mario kills, a little bit of rum is dispensed. For every For every coin he gets, a little bit of Coke is dispensed. It's supposed to basically give you a rum and Coke. I personally would probably sit there just jumping on enemies all day, but that's probably me. There's a couple things that are fantastic about this, and there's a couple aesthetic things that aren't just that are just not done well. The one really cool thing is that, you know, it gives you free booze. That's awesome. The one thing that's not incredibly done well is the fact that the question block that dispenses and houses all of the different fun things that in there is supported by Tetris blocks. Now, Tetris has nothing to do with Mario. They should be supported either by other Tetris, other question blocks, or some form of recognizable Mario iconography. Now, that aside, I think it's a relatively cool game. It lacks something in what you would actually expect from an immersive Mario experience. So, for instance, it actually gives you rum and Coke depending on how you do on the said level, and it actually vibrates as you slide down the pole and gives you a dispense of rum depending on how high the score is you got at the end of the level. The fun thing about it is that if you end up, unfortunately, if you end up dying on the level, it actually gives you a dose of water to ruin your drink. So I thought that was kind of fun and cool and wanted to share with the group here. Next little thing, again from over at Device.com, is a 90-second beer chiller to make your work. It makes you work for your coolness. Basically, it's a beer on a spit. You open up the compartment, you put a bunch of ice in there, probably a little salt to aid in the cooling, and you actually stick the lid back on there and crank the beer cold. I think this is pretty fun and cool. Of course, you could always just put the beer in the fridge a little bit before your friends get there. I think it would actually be kind of interesting to make people work for their cold beer, but it's only $15, so, you know, it's kind of a fun thing to have. All right, next item we have for you here is they're playing our song, A Whiskey Bottle Responds to Music. Now, if you've ever seen the shirt over at thinkgeek.com where they actually have a graphic equalizer on it that responds to sound, it's the same thing except with a bottle of whiskey. Now, I like whiskey, but what I need is a bottle of scotch that actually responds to my mood. So if I'm having a rough day, it pours itself. That would be an ideal situation. But as it is, you know, if you'd like to have a little bottle of Ballantine's actually showcase the fat beats that some DJs throwing down, that's pretty cool. I'm just not entirely sold on this. I think the... I don't know why it is. I actually collect weird beer bottles and things like that. I think a bottle itself is an aesthetically pleasing item. I think it's relatively interesting how they're created. You know, even when I was working in a historical archaeology, that I worked with a gentleman who was fascinated by bottles, and so I know more about the production of bottles and how they work. You know, from the blowing of them to the actual machines that house the different dyes than any normal sane person actually should. So the fact that the bottle actually lights up and showcases a little bit of electronic gimmickry on it, that doesn't really spark as much of the cool thoughts in my head as some of the ways that the actual... some of the other cool things that I've actually seen bottles do. I mean, it's, you know, I don't really know what to say beyond that, except if you're looking for a bottle to showcase the fat beats, then there you go. All right, next little thing we have up for you here, disposable flask seems perfect for the game. There's basically a foil flask that they're putting out there that actually is a tiny way to compress your inconspicuous consumption of alcohol into a small disposable container. You can reuse them, you can refill them. I think that if you're going to go with a flask, I actually have a flask. I have a lovely silver flask with a pewter gargoyle on the front. I've taken it to a couple friends' weddings. It's kind of a fun, interesting thing to take with you. The idea of using a flask is not necessarily inconspicuous consumption. It borders on conspicuous. It borders on, say, it's not that you want, hey, everybody look at this guy who's drinking. It's more along the lines of, this is a stylistic decision that you make to include this one very, very interestingly crafted device into your drinking habits. So I don't really necessarily think that a foil flask says the right things about a gentleman as he's going to an occasion, so I would probably stick with the more metallic variety of this. Now, if you are a discerning individual during a cocktail party, you might want to take it into the next thing. It's a way to tap your fruit. There's a faucet and a 4-inch shank kit with a black handle. It's basically a way to turn a watermelon, pumpkin, or any other gourd-like object into a dispenser for fruit punch or any other beverage, alcoholic or otherwise. I think this is really cool. The only downfall to this I see is the fact that they debuted it during the wintertime. This would be a perfect story to have in the middle of the summertime. I'm looking at this. I think it's unbelievable. It's wonderful. It doesn't scream Christmas to me. This would even be fine if you were going to talk about a Halloween and you were going to have some kind of crazy pumpkin punch and you were going to have a pumpkin that actually dispensed alcohol to your guests. That would be great. I don't know very many fruits or anything that are consumed during the holidays that would actually really, you know, jump out and say, hey, you know, you need to spend $30 on this. I've seen people spend a lot more on regular taps for beer kegs that, you know, I think this is a relatively innocuous way to actually spend $30 if you have the kind of parties where you end up drinking a lot of fruit punch. So I think it's kind of cool and kind of fun. So if you have $30 in disposable income, not only could you send it to me, but you could also buy a fun faucet and 4-inch shank kit. So, all right, the last little thing that we have for you here at the Caffeination Podcast before we run out of time is a flat pack punch out bamboo cutlery set. Yes, you heard it here correctly. This is yet another story from over at Yanko Design. It's a fun little place to head on over there and check it out. But it's an interesting way where you can actually roll out a set of bamboo slats. And in each one of the slats exists a punch-out version of a fork, a spoon, or a knife. I'm not entirely sure how the spoon works, except for the fact that the spoon appears to just be a flat way to, you know, kind of like a spatula that you could actually pick things up with. I would have liked to also see a way to use the leftover pieces as chopsticks, because if you're going to end up having punch-out and flat-pack cutlery, the only way to actually make this really, really useful, this is also a design concept, so there's probably a couple little things that could happen in the meantime. First of all, you need a slight indentation on the spoon. That's just kind of, common courtesy. Second of all, you're having a lot of wasted wood that appears, so maybe just making them slightly thicker in the slat department, you could actually include a little set of chopsticks in between, and it would actually work out a lot better. You want to have the least amount of waste in your portable cutlery. I think this is a pretty cool idea. It bears some kind of investigation through the future, but who knows where it's going to end up. So I just wanted to pass it along, and hopefully you enjoy. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast, episode number 389. I am Crufty Claws, and I'm sending you out here. Hopefully you enjoyed the fun stylings that we had on today's episode. There's been a lot of fun stuff happening recently. Remember to please head on over to www.caffeination.com, CaffeinationIon.com, and click subscribe to the podcast so you can get all this fun stuff every time. Or you can send an email to caffeination@gmail.com asking to be put on the list for the show notes, asking to be put on the show's mailing list. And it's a regular old mailing list where it's just a BCC field and a fun little group email. That's all it is. The only thing I ever do is send out the show notes every time I produce an episode. So thank you ever so much for listening into this episode. Stay caffeinated, people.